I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Straight Talk Catholicism, two Catholics with a PhD in common sense, reporting for duty to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and under the mantle of Holy Mother Church. Terry,
well, I'm reporting for duty also, Jesse, and this is going to be a very interesting show. We have exorcist Father Chad Ripperger joining in with a clip later in the show that you're going to want to hear. It's regarding how we form our moral conscience when we vote, because we can't tell you who to vote for. We can tell you how to form your conscience. And Father Ripperger nails it. Also, Jesse, we're going to be talking about Catholic school superintendent says our kids need to go back to school. They certainly do need to go back to school. Also, just the facts here. We want to know why the media is calling Biden a devout Catholic and where does he actually stand with the Catholic Church. Just the facts. Make your judgment. But when I hear about a devout Catholic, something comes to my mind. Also, Joe Biden also responds. He's talking about his Catholic faith. He's been doing that for years, saying that it formed him as a young man and today. So I want to understand that because Biden's talking about his faith after President Trump says that the former vice president is against God. That's a strong statement to say against your running, who you're running against.
Terry, also one more thing I want to just jump in. Maybe we could also talk a little bit about Kamala Harris.
We should add that in.
Maybe in the last segment.
That's true.
His new candidate.
Who she is.
And who she is. Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, no, it fits right in. And also, what I really like, Jesse, is the etymology. How did we start praying grace before meals? This is fascinating if you like the fathers of the church and history regarding our Catholic faith. What amazes me in our faith is that so much of it goes on for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and passed on to the next generation. So much of that's going to happen. But before we do any of that, Jess, we got to have some soul food, brother.
That's right. You know, the soul food I'm going to give today, Terry, is the first reading at Holy Mass.
Uh-oh.
It's on Ezekiel.
I read it, yeah.
And I think, you know, I want to talk about that.
You think?
Because Ezekiel the prophet here is talking about people are about to be punished.
That's right.
Why? Because the fathers of the church say this is an example of personal responsibility. People are personally responsible for their lives and their actions. And you're going to see a chastisement from God for those people that don't have the cross on their forehead. St. Jerome actually says that's a prophecy of the pre-incarnate Christ on your forehead. What we as Catholics do quite naturally, make the cross on our foreheads.
Yep.
So let's read what it says today, because it applies a lot to the Catholic faith and our world today. The Lord, Ezekiel chapter 9. The Lord cried loud for me to hear, "Come, you scourges of the city." With that, I saw six men, these are angels, coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces the north, each with a destroying weapon in his hand. Notice the angels, they do God's bidding. In their midst was a man dressed in linen, with a writer's case at his waist. They entered and stood beside the bronze altar. Notice all the liturgical items there. Okay, a man dressed like a priest next to an altar. Mm-hmm. Then he called to the man dressed in linen with the writer's case at his waist, saying to him, "Pass through the city, through Jerusalem, and mark a tau." That's the Hebrew word for tea. "And mark a tau on the foreheads of those who moan and groan over all the abominations that are practiced within it." Who are those? Those are the remnant. Those are the people living in a state of grace. Those are the people that are following God amidst their brothers and sisters who have apostatized and have rejected God. So these are all Israelites, but the ones the angels are marking with the forehead with a T are the ones that are faithful, the ones that are living in sanctifying grace. It goes on to say, "To the others I heard the Lord say, 'Pass through the city after him and strike.'" That means kill, okay? "Do not look on them with pity, nor show any mercy." In other words, there's an appointed day where God's mercy ends. And all you get at that moment is strict justice if you don't repent. It says, Old men, youths and maidens, women and children, wipe them out. But do not touch any marked with the tau. That's the cross on the forehead. Begin at my sanctuary. Ah, whoa. So the Lord is telling Ezekiel, where am I going to start punishing people from? The clergy.
Yep.
Let me punish the clergy first, and then I'm going to start punishing the rest of the people. But I'm going to start first with those who are ordained and have authority. So they began with the men, the elders who were in front of the temple. Defile the temple, he said to them, and fill the courts with the slain. Then go out and strike the city. Then the glory of the Lord left. I hear some music in the background. I wonder what that is.
Distracting. I don't know what that was.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Then the glory of the Lord left the threshold of the temple and rested upon the cherubim. Mm-hmm. The glory of the Lord, that means God's presence in the form of a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
These lifted their wings, and I saw them rise from the earth, the wheels rising along with them. They stood at the entrance of the eastern gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was up above them. Then the cherubim lifted their wings, and the wheels went along with them, while up above them was the glory of God of Israel, the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord. Thanks be to God. Yep.
Thanks be to God. St. Jerome says that the T that the angels were putting on the remnant, mm-hmm. it was the cross of Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. Mm-hmm. And here again, we see God through Ezekiel. He's teaching the Israelites personal responsibility. And who are the people that are being punished? Only the guilty. And Ezekiel is carrying out a message the way God is sending destroying angels to slay by his orders, the orders of God, all the idolatrous citizens, but sparing the innocent whose foreheads have been marked with the sign of the cross. Again, all the idolaters are being killed in the time of Ezekiel. There was an appointed time where God was just fed up. So what is idolatry according to the New Testament? Well, according to St. Paul, idolatry is in Ephesians 5:5 and Colossians 3:5 is sexual perversion and the love of money. Yep. So I just say that so we can make sure that we have our houses in order, because what happened to the Israelites can happen to us as well. But the good news is that marking your forehead with the sign of the cross, notice, God's departure removed all the protection and that he gave the people. He gave them over to the destruction. Who were given over to the destruction? Those that did not have the mark of righteousness on their forehead, which was a sign of the cross. The rest of the Israelites who did not have the mark on their forehead, they were subject to death, according to the word of God. Terry?
History repeats itself, Jess. That's all I'll say, brother.
Yeah.
Hey, today's feast day is St. Jane Frances de Chantal. And here's the interesting thing about her. Like St. Francis of Assisi and St. Clair, many of these saints meet other saints. And here's what happened. She was born in France in 1572. She died in 1641. She was married to the Baron of Chantal and had six children. Now, after her husband's death, she dedicated herself to the sick and the poor. And here's the kicker, Jess. She met, yes, St. Francis de Sales. And she founded the Order of the Visitation Nuns under his guidance. And here's the key she did that, man, I'm a treatise on love, Introduction to Devout Life. She later published St. Francis de Sales' writings. And we have the writings today because she did that. And what the connection I'm making, Jess, is how saints run into other saints. And it seems like they come together and it just mushrooms with other saints. So I just want to say, St. Francis de Chantal, pray for us, especially in this time of need of more saints.
That's right. And Terry, as Catholics, let's not forget that the most important thing that we can do as Catholics is not imitate entertainers or actors or athletes or politicians. Imitate people like St. Jane Frances de Chantal.
Yep.
Every single day we quote another saint to you.
Right.
Guess what? Those are the people that are God's Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
okay, not for throwing a football or a basketball or a baseball. The Hall of Fame are those that lived radically for Jesus. They united themselves with Jesus. That's who you want to imitate, because if you imitate them, you're on the way to heaven. Terry?
I'd like to bring St. Bishop Sheen in soon, I hope, praise.
Yeah.
On a train. If we can bring him in real quick, that'd be great. And I'll just say, full steam ahead. I say saint because in my mind,
oh yeah,
he's a saint, okay? But here's what he said about spiritual prophet, Justin. This hit me pretty hard. He said, the greatest spiritual profit comes from loving those who hate us, from giving gifts and dinners to those who cannot give anything in return, for then recompense will be made in the kingdom of heaven. Why is that so beautiful, Jesse? It's because it's easy to give money to pump, give food, give time to people who are going to say, hey, I'm going to invite you back over to my house. No, the poor can't invite you back. So your blessing is going to be in this next life. And I would just say that's very, very edifying. And it gives me more motivation to build up my treasures here so that when I get to heaven, they'll be there for me, because helping people who can't help you is really a key. Jesse, when we come back, I really think that there's a clip that we're going to play later in the show from Father Ripperger, Exorcist, regarding forming your moral conscience. But before we do that, I want everybody to hang on tight, because we're going to talk about Catholic school superintendent saying that our kids need to come back to school. Why do they need to come back to school? There's a lot of problems when you have kids not going to school, not just disobedience, not just crime, but their formation is being warped by not going to school. And we're going to get into that and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs, what, in common sense. And folks, common sense ain't that common, especially in the last 5 months. We'll be back. Don't turn that dial.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
A common sense Catholic school superintendent is saying something that we all know to be true.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying, our kids need to go back to school.
Amen.
And so the bishops and the school superintendents across the United States, they're emphasizing the importance of an in-person education for this coming fall, not this, Skype type of instruction. And they're also seeking to reassure parents that schools are taking precautions necessary to keep children safe. In fact, in Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis has issued an order mandating that schools must reopen in person in the fall. Good for him.
Yep.
And superintendents say they're doing everything they can to prepare to welcome students safely, while also offering remote learning for those who may need it. And there's also Chris Pastura, a Catholic superintendent of the schools in St. Petersburg Diocese. In an interview, he said recently that he and other leaders in the Diocese of St. Petersburg believe strongly it's important for students to come back to school. He says, COVID is not the only dangerous thing in our society. Lack of community, loneliness, and all those things affect our kids. And I think it's important for our kids to be back in school. Here's one of my personal comments, Terry. Really? I believe that the riots, these anarchists and these riots, would actually stop if the schools were opened up again. I'll tell you why. You could see most of these rioters are white college kids.
Yep.
Well, guess what? The colleges are closed. So if you're being told by social media, hey, you want to make some money to go riot and loot and stuff? We've got some money coming in from Black Lives Matter that's being funded by 250 corporations, along with George Soros and others. You want to get paid to go riot and spit on the cop's face? No problem. I'll be there. Sign me up. I'm unemployed. Terry, that's most of these anarchists are young college kids, and they have nothing to do, and they're unemployed.
Jesse, I concur on that. You have a PhD in common sense. I witnessed those college kids 2 weeks ago in Redlands, California. And Jesse, they did exactly what you just said. You weren't exaggerating. They spit in the face of policemen, and I saw it, and it was terrible. But you know what, Jess? I want to just mention to our listeners, especially if there's any Catholic school teachers, and you want to text us a question or comment regarding this issue, I'm going to give my cell number out. I get enough text, boy, why not more? 661-972-7872. If you have a comment and you want to text us about this, 661-972-7872. Jesse, what's interesting, in the Diocese of St. Petersburg, they sent a letter to the parents of nearly 13,000 students asking them to sign a waiver of liability, choosing to accept the risk that their children may be sickened by the coronavirus at school. Now, Jess, they do that because, you know, we're so crazy, especially in California. Everybody sues everybody for everything. And so I understand why they are doing that. They're covering themselves because they don't want to have lawsuits. But all the schools are giving the option of coming back in person here or online learning for students in high-risk medical categories or who may have high-risk people in their households. That's what they're doing. So they're trying to be prudent about it. But you know what, Jess? The problem with the kids don't go to school, not only the schooling. Jesse, I would go nuts physically if I wasn't playing sports in my school years, okay? I mean, I was one of those kids that was shaking at the table, waiting for sports, waiting for recess, waiting to get out and play ball. Now, when they don't have that opportunity, they're going to put that energy in another direction. So I concur that putting the kids back into school just makes too much sense.
Yep, and the superintendent of schools from Pensacola, Tallahassee Diocese, he's also spoken out about the importance of opening Catholic schools in person.
Yep.
His name is Mike Juhas. He's a superintendent. He's a Catholic. He said this: "We feel that the students' spiritual growth is vital to them. We're educating the whole child, and spirituality is a big part of that." Close quote. And elsewhere, the bishops of California said this week that Catholic schools in California are taking appropriate measures against the threat of coronavirus, and authorities should issue waivers to rules that bar the schools from reopening for vital in-person education, citing the low risk of coronavirus infection amongst children. And initially, the nation's largest Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles, with 74,000 students attending its schools, announced on June 15 that schools would be reopening for in-person learning in the fall in Los Angeles, Ventura, and Santa Barbara. However, California Governor Gavin Newsom, talk about violation of the principle of subsidiarity.
Yep.
He said on July 17th that schools in the state of California where the coronavirus cases were high would remain closed for in-person learning. So there you go. Completely, you have the violation of the principle of subsidiarity, because God has given three forms of authority and they're not supposed to transgress each other. When you read the Bible, the first authority that God has given is to the church. Second authority that God has given in the Bible is to the state, to the government. Third authority God has given to the Bible is to the husband and the family. So the Bible talks about three forms of authority, and each of them have their own jurisdiction. You're not supposed to transgress into the jurisdiction of another. For example, your parish priest should not come over and tell you what to feed your kids, your babies, and what schools to send them to. That's your jurisdiction, Dad. And again, the state doesn't have the authority to tell the church you can't sing, you can't receive communion in the hand. And also the church can't tell the state, hey, you need to put a stop sign here. You need to put a red light over here. There's jurisdiction within authority. And the three forms of authority that come from Scripture, from God, are government, one, church, two, family, three. And Gavin Newsom is violating what's called the principle of authority in Catholic social teaching.
And not only that, Jesse, subsidiarity is being abused too. And you mentioned that word, just for those who are not familiar with it. The Catechism makes it clear that the church sees things being done on a local level better than on a, like I say, the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. But we want to be able to handle things on a local level, and it seems to be getting done much better. But when somebody comes in like the governor of California and says one size fits all, that doesn't make sense. And it's also against what we believe on subsidiarity. So I would just ask our listeners, think about this for themselves, that when these kids are not going to school, what the heck are they doing, Jesse? What are they doing? How is that forming them for the future? And how is it hurting them? In the article, it makes a comment that the psychological views of these kids, they're going to be hurt for life if they don't get back into going to school and getting into a schedule, because that's going to affect them in a very negative way.
Yeah, Terry, Gavin Newsom is...
he's trouble.
And he's trouble, but again, I don't know if he's Catholic.
Some people have... he's related to
Nancy
Pelosi, and she's Catholic in name.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm just saying, I'm assuming that there was some Catholicity in their family. Yes.
Well, it's good to see, Terry, that they're pushing back. We're seeing Catholics, superintendents. We're seeing Catholic bishops.
Yeah.
We're pushing back
it's
here.
It's time to push back.
Yeah, and we've got to push back hard, because this man, he's violating Catholic social teaching.
Yep.
The bishops have argued, the bishops in New York, Boston, Los Angeles,
all over the country,
they're pushing Congress.
Yeah.
And they're asking President Trump to adopt the federal scholarship tax credit model.
Yeah.
After the successful state level credits, in order to assist private schools. And such a program would now be possible following the Supreme Court's landmark June ruling in Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue.
Right.
The bishops have argued that the Catholic schools, many of which are facing closure amid the pandemic, are worth saving because of their savings to taxpayers.
Right.
And their success in creating successful and well-formed citizens. I'm just guessing, Terry, that most of the people that are rioting at Black Lives Matter and Antifa, I'm pretty sure that the majority of them are not coming from, they're not Catholic school graduates. I'm just stating something that I think is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And they're probably not also from good, strong Protestant schools like Hillsdale College and Liberty University.
Right.
They're probably from secular institutions, Terry, where they've been immersed in moral relativism and in really Marxism and in
right.
socialism.
And Jesse, the article also says it's urgent action by President Trump to the Congress to meet the needs of Catholic and other school families will preserve the important education option for generations to come and prevent added financial burdens on our government schools. So what they're saying, Jesse, is if we spend the money now on the Catholic schools, will save us money in the future. And I agree with them, and I hope President Trump does see that. That's my take.
Yep, he's really in favor of the smaller the better.
Yep,
he's a subsidiarist.
He is,
and basically it's the principle of subsidiarity. What do parents want? This is the principle of subsidiarity: is when parents want the decisions about their kids made at the local level by local school boards, not by Gavin Newsom. And at the local level, a school is subject to the watchful eyes of the citizens and mom and dad. And again, parents, they're supported in this view by the U.S. Constitution, which gives the federal government no power over education. Did you hear that?
Yep.
The U.S. Constitution gives the federal government no power over education.
Shocking.
And the fact of the matter is Catholic social teaching teaches that mom and dad are the primary educators of the children. And so once again, Gavin Newsom is on the wrong side of the issues. Pray for his conversion. This man, Terry, I'm going to tell you the difference between a bad man and an evil man.
Yeah.
And here's the difference. Mm-hmm. A bad man does things that are personally bad, personal sins, mm-hmm. where, you know, he's taking personal actions that offend God. That's a bad man. And all of us fall into that camp. And that's why we go to confession.
Yep.
An evil man is somebody whose personal dark sins, he's now able to push them on others because he has power. Somebody like Gavin Newsom, whose personal intellectual darkness and spiritual bankruptcy, because he has power, he's able to project his bad thoughts and his immoral formation. He's able to project it across an entire state and infect many people. That's an evil man. That's the difference between a bad man. That's a person who does bad things by himself. An evil man is somebody who has power to do bad things to affect a whole multitude of people.
Yeah, I will just give you an example of George Soros. Oh. Here's an evil man because he's using his resources to corrupt people, to murder people. And there's an example. Hey, Jesse, when we come back, just the facts, okay? These are just the facts. The media is calling Biden a devout Catholic. And so where does he actually stand with the Catholic Church? And just the facts on what he has to say, because we don't want anything more than the facts. So you got to decide on yourself where to vote, who to vote for. But please be informed. Don't be someone with your head in the sand. You need to know the facts before you cast your vote. It's a serious obligation as a Catholic to vote with a Catholic moral conscience. Terry and Jesse Show, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back to help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father Altier and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Psalm 119
says, "This is Terry
Barber.
I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Straight Talk Catholicism. Amen. I want to see if Richard could play a small little clip from Father Chad Ripperger, who talks about there is a systemically evil party right now in the United States, and I want you to hear from probably the most educated Thomistic exorcist in the world right now what he says about one political party. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Let's cut to the chase. We are not living in a political atmosphere where there are differences of ideas. We are living in a political atmosphere where it's good on one side and evil on another. It's not a matter of differences of ideas. The ideas that they throw out are just to promote their evil. It's that simple. If you cut to the chase of it and get down to the bottom of it, there's certain people that are just nefarious. They're just doing evil things. And how do you know this? Every single thing they do maximizes damage within the context of what they're able to do. This is the type of thing that actually ends up affecting us. I'm not going to name names. I can see it now. It'll be all over the newspapers. But the point being is that we have to recognize that this indirect oppression that we suffer is when other people do evil things to get demons involved in culture, in society, in the church, part of spiritual warfare. You have an obligation to vote. The church has reiterated the fact that John Paul II himself even said in one of his documents that each citizen, if they have the right to vote, has an obligation to vote in order to secure the common good for the society. And it's a negligence to do so. It's a sin. You have an obligation to get out there and do this. Because why? Because we have an obligation, as Leo XIII said, and as Pius XI said, and of all the saints have said, especially the popes in the last 150 years, that we have an obligation to establish the kingship of Christ even in the secular sphere. Even in the secular sphere. Everybody thinks that the most important thing in an election is the economy. No, it's not. The most important thing in any election is the spiritual and moral welfare of the citizenry. That's the most important thing in an election. The fact that we tend to think it's all about, you know, that the primary thing is about the economy, you know, it's the economy, stupid. No, actually, you're stupid thinking it's about the economy. It really should be about, because why? The only reason that St. Thomas says, he says in his work on De Regimini Principiis, he says, the reason that you have to promote a good economy is so that the citizens can develop virtue. That's what it's there for.
Wow.
Wow.
I loved it, Jess. You know what? Kingship
we should
of Christ.
You know what? We should probably play that clip every day until the elections. I'm serious.
That's good stuff.
Because in 2.5 minutes, Terry, he just crunched everything. Number one. This is why Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, this is why they're completely wrong for the country. Okay, both of them are apparently baptized Catholics, okay?
Yep.
Now, their personal sins are on them. They're going to have to stand before God because they basically disagree with the Catholic Church on every moral teaching. But what's worse, Terry, is that they have power that you and I don't have.
Right.
And so as Father Ripperger says, somebody that's evil, that has power, here's what he says. They maximize damage. What a powerful word. See, my personal sin, let's just say I, Jesse Romero, am smoking pot every day or using drugs every day. Nobody knows. I'm living a double life. I'm destroying myself, and I'm probably destroying my family, as a result. But now if I become a high-level drug dealer like Chapo Guzman, I'm maximizing damage. That's what Biden and Kamala Harris are doing, Terry, because their immoral way of thinking, their warped way of thinking, their poorly formed Catholic moral conscience, they want to maximize their and project it to society. And as Father Ripperger has said, it affects us.
Yeah.
It affects us. And a lot of people, we have to catch ourselves, because sometimes we start saying, the economy, the economy, the economy. I fall into that too as well. We have to remember that, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, the reason we want a good economy is because a good economy helps us, helps reform the citizenry. A good economy helps build virtue because people are working, people are supplying for their family, people are becoming responsible. So a good economy is supposed to bring virtue. A good economy in itself is not the end-all and be-all. It's to produce the common good amongst its citizenry. Terry?
You nailed it. The only thing I left out was that what he said about the spiritual warfare of our country. What's going to be good for us? How do you vote? Who's going to be put in office that's going to help us live our Catholic faith in freedom? And Jesse, I just have to say that these are just facts. I'm not telling people how to vote, but I'm telling people that here are the facts. You make the call, but be careful that you're not making a call without information. For example, you know, here's what happened. The staff at CNN and other outlets are calling Joe Biden a devout Catholic. Now, Thursday, after President Trump said that the former president would hurt the Bible, hurt God. Well, let's see if he does. Biden has frequently spoken about his Catholic faith as the bedrock foundation of his life. He has been spotted holding rosary beads and has referenced the solace of his faith that has been given to him. Biden publicly supports abortion. Now, here's one side. Okay, I got the rosary bead in one hand. See if this doesn't make sense, Jess. One hand has the rosary, and the other hand, I'm going to support abortion and same-sex marriage. You know what, Jess? They can't go together, brother. You can't be for that and be a devout Catholic. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it also says he holds positions contrary to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. And he's promised, get this, to reinstate Obama-era policies requiring the Catholic Little Sisters of the Poor to pay for employees' birth control.
That's right.
Terry, I'm going to tell you, here's where Joe Biden, this is where he opens himself up to the diabolical entirely. Yeah. There's a principle taught in Catholic spiritual warfare by exorcists. Here's a principle.
Yeah.
It's one of those axioms that all exorcists teach. It goes like this. The demon looks for the mouth that blesses and at the same time curses. I'm going to repeat that again. The demon looks for the mouth that blesses and also curses. So what does Father Ripperger and other professors of exorcism mean when they say that? The demons are looking for people that live a double life.
You nailed it.
Just like the book of James says in James chapter 1, I forget the verse, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the demons look for people that live a duplicitous lifestyle, like Judas, part-time apostle, part-time thief, part-time stealing from the apostles' treasury chest. And this is exactly what Joe Biden is. He's a duplicitous. This is what makes him dangerous, Terry.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris. They're duplicitous. And again, the demons, I'm going to repeat this again. This is spiritual warfare 101. Demons look for the mouth that blesses and the mouth that curses at the same time. So Kamala Harris and Joe, at least Joe Biden, I don't know about Kamala Harris if she's claiming Catholicism, so we'll wait to see in the next couple of days. But Joe Biden does claim Catholicism. He takes out his rosary, says he's a devout Catholic. But then, like you said, he publicly supports culture of death issues.
Yeah.
Terry, that makes him a target of diabolical retaliation, because the demons, they look for duplicitous persons because they're not protected by the mantle of living in a state of grace.
See, that just makes common sense. The devil's going to take these guys that are high-profile people,
yes,
if they're supposedly living this Catholic life but living a double life. Are you kidding me? He's going to exploit that to the hill.
Right.
Because what does that do? What does that do to the Joe Sixpack in the pew who sees this and says, oh, well, for an ignorant Catholic, you know what that says? I guess I can vote for abortion. I guess I can be same-sex guy promotion? Yeah, because Joe Biden is a devout Catholic. He can do it. And you know what else, Jesse, that you didn't say? I'm going to say it. Okay. I take a deep breath of air. Here it comes. Our church leaders need to call these guys out. Yesterday, I had Bishop Strickland talking about not giving Holy Communion to politicians who are for abortion. And he laid it out and said, they have no communion with the church. They have no right. They have no reason to receive Holy Communion when they are objectively living against the church's teachings. And they're not part of they've left the church by their views. See, here's my point. We need more bishops to point this out, not to make fun of anybody, but for the value of clarity, Jess.
Terry, also another point of this article is that all the progressive leftist fake news media, they're all touting Biden as a practicing Roman Catholic. You got the CNN, Politico, you got the Los Angeles Times, all of them. Whoa, how can Trump say something about Joe Biden? Joe Biden's a devout Catholic. So you have an entire chorus of leftist progressive media that are all singing from the same hymnal. Yep. Biden is a practicing Catholic. Terry, this guy is Mr. Flip-Flopper himself. They should call him Joe Pancake Biden, okay? Because the guy just flip-flops like a waffle.
Yeah.
He said here early in his career about but he used to be pro-life,
That's right.
Before 1982 as a senator.
Yep.
And this is why he was pro-life. He said it in 1982, why he was pro-life. Quote, I'm probably a victim or a product, however you want to phrase it, of my Catholic background. Biden said this in 1982 of his decision to vote for a pro-life amendment. But now, Terry, again, because his party has moved more towards the culture of death, socialism, now he's singing a different tune. Now, and in fact, Terry, he's gone so left. Most people don't realize Joe Biden himself, he was interviewed about the whole thing about same-sex marriage. He goes, hey, I'm the one that pushed Barack. He said this. He says Barack was against this.
That's right.
He goes, I kept working on him and working on him. I finally convinced him. He goes, I'm the one that passed same-sex marriage. It was because of me. And in fact, Joe Biden has performed two homosexual weddings.
That's right.
In the White House himself.
That's right.
That we know of. Those are just the ones that there's pictures of. Who knows how many more same-sex marriages he's performed.
Yep. And you know what? His mother said in 2008, hey, are you getting to Mass on time? Oh, yes. 91-year-old mother. I'm sure she's gone now, but now she must be praying I'm praying for Joe Biden to have a conversion back to his Catholic faith. We come back, we'll talk more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry, I just want to give the proper quote to Archbishop Fulton Sheen. I don't want to be guilty of plagiarism.
Absolutely.
He's the one that said, I just found it. He said this, and this refers to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Here's what Archbishop Sheen said.
Hit me.
Quote.
Hit.
He says, the difference between a bad man and an evil man is this. A bad man sins. An evil man tries to get others to sin.
Yeah.
To be complicit in his sin, to bring another to ruin,
well,
as he has done for himself. Close quote, Archbishop Sheen. It's not my quote. It's from Archbishop Sheen.
Of course.
Joe Biden's not a bad man, Terry.
No.
He's an evil man.
Yeah.
Okay, because when you're trying, as I'm going to just say it, as St. Bishop Sheen says,
yeah.
When you get other people to do the evil things you're doing, you're not a bad man, Terry.
Right.
You're an evil man.
Yeah, I agree, Justin. Just, again, we're not here to beat up on Joe Biden. We'd love to see him go back to his Catholic faith.
Of course.
Just, I just have to put, I'm not in management, I'm in sales. But I got to tell you, there are a lot of other politicians, Pelosi and others, that are Catholic in name, and they don't seem to get corrected by our church leaders. And I just want to ask our church leaders, for clarity purposes, please point out the error when some politician is saying that he's Catholic and he's for killing unborn babies or he's for same-sex marriage. Don't presume that everybody knows that that's wrong. We need clarity, because I'm going to put the blame. Joe Biden, I get it. But also, our church needs to be more outspoken on these issues so that the people know exactly what we believe in, because I've run into too many Catholics over the years, Jesse, who think, are you ready, that abortion is okay because, hey, in certain circumstances, you know, they're not going to have a mom and dad to raise them, so it's okay. And they say, a priest told me that. So I just want to say that, because I think it's time for us to, we're talking about purifying the church. Well, purifying the church is when it comes to clarity on its doctrine. And I think that Joe Biden, I mean, he's saying that, you know, he's in good standings with the church, but as you know, Father Robert E. Moore told the Morning News when he refused Joe Biden Holy Communion, he pointed out Holy Communion signifies we are one with God and each other in the church. Our actions should reflect that. And he says any public figure who advocates abortion places himself or herself outside the church teaching. See, Jess, that's the kind of clarity I want from our clergy, because then there's no ambiguity.
Yeah, Terry, and Brian Birch Catholic Vote.
Yeah, we know him well.
I like what Brian says.
Yeah.
He says this about Joe Biden or any politician. He says, what matters here isn't their devotional life.
No.
You know, whether they're holding a rosary or have a rosary in their pocket. But what matters are their policies.
Exactly.
And Joe Biden's policy agenda threatens the freedom of the Catholic Church in America. Not only on the life issue, but also on religious liberty. And if you don't believe that, Joe Biden on his website, at the time that he was denied Holy Communion by that brave Catholic priest that was doing the right thing, you know, following Cardinal Ratzinger's warning, on Joe Biden's website, he stated that one of his priorities as president would be to, quote, work to codify Roe versus Wade into federal law.
Ouch.
And that his Justice Department under Biden will do everything in its power to stop the rash of state laws that so blatantly violate the constitutional right to an abortion. He says, including laws requiring waiting periods, get rid of ultrasounds, and parental notification of a minor's abortion. So that's exact. And he says, if he becomes president, he's going to repeal the Hyde Amendment because health care and abortion is a right that should not be dependent on one's zip code or one's income. That's right from his website, Terry.
And again, Jesse, he flip-flopped on that too. Jess, I want to end the show on something positive, okay, which is, why do we pray before a meal? I don't like to hear this, but you know what? You need to be informed because uninformed people vote really bad, okay? You got to have the facts. But Jess, let's talk about why do we pray before meals?
This is a very ancient tradition. It's in the Bible. It's in the church fathers. It's in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the Old Testament,
sure.
Deuteronomy 8:10. It says, here's the ancient order given to prayer at meals attributed to Moses. Moses wrote this quote.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have eaten and are satisfied, you must bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. So that's Old Testament.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, the prayer that we usually say as Catholics, the bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we're about to receive from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Obviously, influenced by the Jews, mm-hmm, because we also have other church fathers, well, Tertullian and others, that were already taking from the Jews, blessing the meals. But it was a pope, Pope Galatius, who's the one that wrote this prayer, the one that we say today back in the 5th century,
right.
Pope Galatius, he's the one that wrote the Bless Us, O Lord prayer. So that comes from a Catholic pope 1,500 years ago. But you could also see the church fathers on this. This is before Pope Galatius.
That's right.
For example, Clement of Alexandria, he was a 3rd century saint. He says, before taking nourishment, it is fitting to praise the creator of all things, and it is fitting also to sing his praises when we take as nourishment the things created by him. Tertullian says,
yeah,
our repasts are nothing vile or immodest. We do not incline until we have prayed to God. In like manner, prayer concludes the feast. St. Athanasius in the 4th century also prays before meals. He says, we give thee thanks, our Father, for the resurrection which thou hast manifested to us through Jesus, thy Son. And even as this bread, which is here on this table, was formerly scattered abroad and has been made compact and one, so may thy church be reunited from the ends of the earth for thy kingdom, for thine is the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. So we got Moses talking about it. Then the church fathers picked up on this as well. Then a pope codified the prayer in the 5th century. But Terry, even before the church fathers,
exactly,
the New Testament
that's
picked
right
up
where
on
I was
this.
Gonna go. Go
yeah.
Yes.
No, go.
Corinthians, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
What about the New Testament, brother?
Yes.
I got the fathers.
Yep.
So what does 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 say? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. So you know what, Jesse? This is the same thing. Even the little flower 100 years ago said, you can pick up a cup of water for the glory of God. So what am I saying? What are the fathers are saying? Give thanks, right? And think about this, Jesse, all of this thing about prayer before meals, you know, we say Thanksgiving, you know, we have Mass Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. And so when we pray before meals, this has gone back from the very beginning and before. And so we have an attitude of gratitude. I think that's welcome just about everywhere.
And Terry, the ultimate sacred meal,
yes,
which is a sacred sacrifice and a sacred meal,
exactly,
is the sacred liturgy.
The Holy Mass, yeah.
And all the prayers at Holy Mass,
yep,
I mean, they're basically preparing us for the Eucharist. The entire Mass prayers, the tradition of the sacred words at Mass, are to prepare us for that sacred sacrifice and meal called the Holy Eucharist. And there's one more, Terry, another very common New Testament passage on,
sure,
why you bless food.
Yes.
It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4,
right,
verses 4 and 5. It says, quote, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. And so again, you got Moses talking about it.
That's right.
Who is God's spokesman. Then you have the New Testament mandating us to pray grace before meals. Then you have the post-apostolic fathers teaching us to pray before meals.
Right.
Then finally, in the 5th century, a pope actually just codifies this and writes this as a permanent prayer to pray before meals for Catholics. And so this has a long-standing tradition. Here's the last thing that I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in any of the articles, but I've learned this from many exorcists, is that one of the reasons that it's a very wise thing to pray grace before meals, especially in public, when you go to In-N-Out, whenever you go to wherever you go, okay, a restaurant, Denny's, wherever you go, the reason is because a lot of Satanists, occultists, and witches, they work in these places, these public restaurants, and what they do is they curse foods.
Wow.
And that's called a malefice in the world of exorcism. A malefice is when a person involved in the occult, they curse like the meat in a hamburger. They'll spit on it, you know, they put their saliva on it. They say a curse over it or some part of the food, and they serve it to you. Now, if you ingest something, a malefice, the spit of a witch, a wizard, a Satanist that has also cursed your food, a malefice is a physical object now that's been diabolically afflicted. And when you eat it, this is why so many people in cases of possession, you'll always find people are throwing up, or something will come out after a few sessions on exorcism, a hairball with a toy, a parts of a doll, a part of a food. Something will come out in an exorcism. It's a malefice that's been placed there by some occultist in a public restaurant.
Jesse, I just want to also add, not just for prayers before meals, but here's a little prayer, say, during the day. Because attitude of gratitude all throughout the day, not just for meals. We give thee thanks, almighty, all-merciful, and all-loving God, for all the blessings that we have received from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. And don't forget at those meals, pray the prayer for the poor souls, that we can pray every single time at meals. Jess, you want to finish it up with the prayer for the dead?
Yeah, Terry, what Terry just prayed right now, that's in Catholic circles, that's known as the post-meal prayer. That's the prayer that should be prayed after you eat.
That's right.
Because after you eat, you're nice and satiated and satisfied and your belly's jiggling with food. But there are souls in purgatory, brothers and sisters in Christ, that are suffering right now. So that prayer that Terry just prayed, that's called in Catholicism the post-meal prayer, to pray for the souls of the dead.
You got it.
Good job, Terry.
Yeah, Jess, one more thing. We always want to give you those five stones of David. Why?
I'll rip through them real quick.
Hit it, man. Hit it.
Five stones of David. Pray the rosary every day from your heart. Number two.
Yeah.
Go to Mass as often as possible. Yeah. Make sure you're signed up for a weekly holy hour.
Yeah.
Number three. Read the Bible every single day, the daily Mass readings. Number four, penance. Fridays is a day of penance in the Catholic Church. You want to go old school, it's Wednesdays and Fridays. And number five, live in a state of grace by going to monthly confession. But if you're in mortal sin right now, after the show, make a phone call and go to confession as soon as possible. Terry?
Up next, the Matt Arnold Show on Virgin Most Powerful. I see him in Studio A right across from me. And I want to thank all of you who support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I've become a monthly donor. We just got someone all the way from Japan, the Watanabes, $50 a month. I want to thank her for that. May God richly bless all of you here at this time. And up next, again, Matt Arnold on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.